Oh, this is my time as a gambling pro. I've downloaded Settlet for the weekend sports, you know. So I'm off to bet against friends and I. I'm taking your money, so say goodbye. I'm wicked this time. I'm ready to cross that fine line. I learned to bet with Settlet. Ooh, I bet on just what I feel. Drink more last lager all day long, and then making cash for real. They got a name for the winners in the world. You'll need a name when you lose. They call Settle It the best bet in Apple, yeah. Call it free cash from you.
Well, there's a reason we call it free cash from you guys, because it's so easy to win incredible bets on the most innovative betting app in the world, Settle It. So download Settle It now, because it is reinventing the game, ladies and gents. No longer do you bet against the bookies. No, no. We are betting against friends, family, and even Archie Curzon. So download the app, and as always, throughout this series, we'll be giving an incredible offer later in the show in the Settle It section for the big England-Australia game. Download the app now and be ready to put money on that later.
More lies, more lies, more lies, more lies. More lies, more lies. More lies, more lies, more lies, more lies. More lies, more lies. More lies.
Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Rugbiz Podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and as always, I'm joined by a man who looks like he's had a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, Mr.
Archie Curzon. How are you, sir?
Yeah, mate, I'm well. And you? You well?
Yeah, very good, thank you. You got a little colour in your face.
Yeah, I've had a hell of a weekend. I've been outside a lot. Firstly, I'd just like to say to all the listeners, I hope their November is progressing positively and their quarter is going well.
Yep.
But yeah, had a phenomenal weekend.
Go on, tell us what happened.
Well, Saturday was just perfection, really. Headed down to Twickets to watch the England boys do a job on Tonga. I've got to say, I think Tonga would struggle in South Division 5.
Some of the chassis on those boys. Yeah, so
a lot of those guys look like they've been dirty bulking. Look like they've been doing some dirty bulking.
Yeah, without the strip.
But yeah, mate, went down there, had a belly full of Guinness, mate. Let me tell you, just with the boys. And then pretty sharp as off the kickoff, headed down to Battersea for the Battersea fireworks. As you'll be well aware, it is a key date in the diary.
Huge one in
South West London. Yeah. It was like bloody Dame of Bay back in the day. You had everyone there. You had the Radley boys, the Marlborough boys, the King Canterbury boys, you had the Eton boys, you had the Channel College boys, you had the Stowe boys.
Did it kick off in the park?
No, we're all past that now, mate. We're high net worth individuals. But mate, there's still that edge in the air, mate. It could kick off any time. And I'll tell you what, if you didn't have your boomerang game going, honestly, wasn't worth being there, but I got some lovely boomerangs on Instagram with the fireworks going off and then back in, off and back in. Really good Instagram content.
So who did you go down there, or did you?
Went there by myself because you know that there's going to be a good set down there.
Yeah, yeah.
You're bound to bump into people, even though there are about 10,000 people there. You're bound to bump into somebody. But I was more interested in getting the content, really, for the Instagram.
So what is the key content?
Well,
you've been many times now.
I've always wanted to get a picture of me kissing a girl as the fireworks are going off. I think that would be...
But you don't have a girlfriend?
No, I know. But I just thought I'd go down there and chance my arm. Funnily enough, it's much harder than you think. Firstly, you've got to find someone who's up for snogging. And secondly, you've got to time it perfectly. And I got neither. I did speak to a few girls and the meeting went well. I was trying to explain it wasn't for anything romantic. It was just for the purpose
content
of Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they didn't get it. And I don't think their boyfriends are that comfortable with it.
It is quite creepy.
Well. Yeah. Well, it is. But I tell you what, you get that photo, mate, and you're getting at least, 400, 500 likes. And that's good going.
Live from Clapham with the CEO himself, this is Clapham News.
This is the news from around Clapham on Thursday, the 11th of November. Reports coming out of Clapham calculate that there's been more alcohol consumed in the last month than any other month in the last 5 years. Experts warn this could have serious consequences on people's chassis. Customer sues Windmill Pub for not being a windmill. At COP90, Boris Johnson discusses, is there too many high net worth individuals living on the Northcote Road? And could this be a problem in years to come? And in business, Moorlash Lager has become the best-selling independent lager in the Clapham area as it continues to grow. You can find it in Hannah and the Old Town Tavern this weekend. In our main story today, in the last 24 hours, Asda in Clapham Junction has announced its closing and being replaced with a Selfridges. We go to our report on the street for a live reaction.
Have you heard that the Asda by Clapham Junction is being turned into a Selfridges? Can we get your reaction?
It does make me sad.
What, that scummy Asda in Clapham Old Town's closing down? About bloody time. Should have happened years ago. And replacing it with a Selfridges? Get in!
You're a fucking idiot.
So, Archie, you've organised a cheeky little guest on the podcast today. I'm very excited to meet him.
My turn this week.
Is he one of your mates? Or?
Well, I'd call him up there as one of the top 20 mates, yeah.
Okay.
We both went to the same uni.
Right, okay. What was that?
Bristol. And
Bristol? But you're at Bristol U?
Yeah, Bristol. And he's a rugby player. He's got a great chat. He's got a phenomenal rig. And yeah, I think people are going to absolutely love this. I know him as Atticus.
Right, who's that?
Dave Atwood.
Dave Atwood. Okay, so we've got Dave Atwood on the podcast, ex-Bristol, Bath, Gloucester, and of course, Toulon.
Yeah, and England.
And England, yeah, over 20 caps for England. So yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting him.
Yeah, yeah. Let's bring him into the chat court and see if he's got a decent backhand.
Dave, obviously playing for huge clubs in the West Country, England, and in France as well, which we'll touch on throughout this interview. But just
wonderful. We're going to go into, you know,
yeah, little corners.
David Atwood's career life. Is this going to be like This Is Your Life, David?
Sure. Hopefully not the end of.
No. This is chapter one and two.
But you're obviously playing at Bristol at the moment under the wonderful Pat Lamb, who's apparently quite a scary bloke. I mean, let's be honest, the season's not going that well at the minute. What's he been like to deal with in the change room post-games? Has he been getting angry? What is an angry Pat Lamb like?
He's not really the kind of guy who throws his toys out of the pram. He's ruthless in meetings. Like, so we'll review the game on a Monday, and I mean, it's pretty tough. You've got to have thick skin. Working on your mental health is a priority on every Monday. But in the change room, he's generally not too bad. I've never really seen him completely lose the plot. He's usually pretty pragmatic. I think he understands that to try and get the most out of people, the hairdryer doesn't always work. Some people it might do, but you kind of catch as many fish as you lose that way. So after a game, he's not too bad. But on Mondays, it's pretty brutal. There's like a row of people and everyone's kind of slinking down out of sight as much as they can in case their kind of initials appear at the bottom, usually with some question marks, exclamation marks, like Max Lahif, WTF was this, where are you?
Yeah, no, he sounds a lot like I sort of run the ship at my office.
Really?
I normally take a lot of the guys aside and just say, look, I'm going to bring up your weight in this meeting, but look, I just want to try and use you as an example. Yeah. And again, you know, it's different things for different people. The women, you know, I don't go for them in the meeting. But the men, yes.
Stay well clear of abusing women.
Yeah.
I really don't abuse men either. But
you shouldn't abuse women. And my predecessor made that mistake. He abused his secretary. Well, I don't want to go into it. But it was a messy
That's
affair.
That's why he's your predecessor.
Yes.
Good guy, apart from that, or not?
Really, really good guy. You wouldn't have known he was cheating on his wife, put it that way.
Oh, my God.
And you wouldn't have known his secretary wasn't keen for it as well.
Right, okay.
So he was he would have been a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
Would have been a fantastic actor.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about acting and pretending not to be scared of your coach. Who is the scariest coach you played under? You played for five different clubs. Who's the scariest of them all?
Dean Ryan was pretty intimidating. When I left Bristol, when they got relegated in 2007, 2008, something like that, I joined Gloucester under Dean Ryan. He was a pretty scary bloke, but obviously I arrived and I put my foot down and they sacked him straight away.
Yeah.
They have none of it.
One thing you'll know about Dave Atwood, he's a big name. When he comes to the club, yeah, his demands will get met.
Well, I hear when he goes to clubs, he sometimes takes a cane with him. Is that true, Dave?
I do have a walking cane. Sometimes if you've got a bad knee, you've got to look after yourself.
Top hat as well to match?
It was part of the formal wear at Bristol University. Obviously, you'll have had the same thing. You probably didn't actually at uni, but we had lots of those formal evenings, gowns, black tie, this kind of stuff going on all the time.
Yeah. No, I mean, I sometimes actually joined up with the Bristol. We were all at Bristol. I don't like to sort of potatoes, patatas. We were both at Bristol at the same time, and yes. Me and Atticus, we loved a black tie event. Both love.
That is a bit like saying Clapham and Putney are the same thing.
It really is. No, it's not. Listen, for me, Bristol is the Clapham of the Southwest. You know, and. It was great to be with a fellow person who went to university at Bristol, and you know, for me and Dave both enjoyed black tie events. We both enjoy wearing black, you know, top hats and you know, whipping people with canes. And we loved. It's a shame. I don't think it's there anymore. But we used to love Oceania, didn't we, Atticus? We used to love it.
Oceania, good times.
Yeah, what a place! Times. And there were some lovely cheekers in there. You really could clean up on a Wednesday night sports night. Oh yeah, dangerous.
Did you ever lock eyes with Dave and both go for the same girl?
No, we're different shaped guys. Right. I suppose I've got sort of that artistic look as well as, you know, being low body fat percentage and, you know, sort of.
You weren't the pinnacle of the sportsman you are now either. To be fair, you were just like a. You know, like a UE student.
I
hadn't taken my position.
Carrying around a hockey stick or something.
Oh, yeah, God.
No, never. that's absolutely rubbish. Don't know what Dave's talking about there. But no, when Dave and me came across each other, I wasn't, you know, the person I am now. I wasn't in the position of being CEO of Clapham. I've blossomed. And so, you know, so's Dave. You know, he's gone on.
Chat's on a whole new level now.
Yeah, you know, it was there and now it's,
you're playing a completely different game now.
Yeah, I was playing league. Now I'm playing union. Put it that way.
Dave, talking about those messy student nights in Bristol, you were obviously playing for the rugby club, as we were just saying, which is, you know, probably the most famous or one of the most famous public school rugby university clubs in the country. But we know that uni rugby initiations are even dirtier than they are for pro clubs. So what was the initiation for Bristol Uni? Can you remember or not?
I know the initiation the year after me ended initiations at Bristol for a while because we got all the fresh to wear nappies for the night. It was like father son, bring your son to work night. So everyone got assigned a fresher and they had to wear a nappy.
Nice.
They were the son. Take them out. But unfortunately, a few of our freshers got a little too drunk, a little too fast, ended up soiling the nappies and then leaving them around the bars of of Bristol.
Oh no,
unfortunately. And then they got banned. Initiation was banned. The whole rugby club was banned from the union for a while. So we just had to make hay in the curry tap.
That's actually, that's bloody good. But can you write that down?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to use that for one of our nights in Clapham.
What, nappies?
Yeah, nappies. That's phenomenal. Yeah, that's really good rugby chat.
Dave, of all the clubs you played for professionally, which one was the most brutal initiation? We hear the Gloucester, the milking, all those kind of things. What was the hardest to do? What was the craziest?
That was the Gloucester, the milking. I was the first round of the initiation of that kind of the milk or egg challenge at Gloucester. I mean, obviously, top rugby banks. I saw off all of the milk with
you did
barrier wine, but I'm sure someone may have subsequently done it again since. But that was a pretty tough challenge. And the projectile vomiting milk across the car park afterwards is certainly a fun experience. I advocate everybody should try that once in their life.
Who came up with that initiation?
I think it was Luke Narraway. I think he'd read an interview, an article somewhere that said that you can't digest eggs quickly or something like that. So that was like the challenge. You got to eat 10 eggs or 8 pints of milk, and everyone would like, oh well, the eggs obviously is going to be easier, but you just can't physically digest them. So a lot of the guys are like, yeah, we'll do the eggs, and just absolutely no chance.
Well, Dave, having been given your start in professional rugby post uni at Bristol Rugby Club, you had, you know, some beautiful introductions to the game, but you didn't really kick on. And then you moved to Gloucester in the summer of 2009. And you
what become, a beautiful summer.
It was a wonderful summer.
Yeah. I think I was in Rock that year. And the weather was unbelievable.
But you get a this wonderful run with Gloucester. You become a Cherry and Whites legend until you decide to get a red card versus La Rochelle to ruin your two-year unbeaten run. We've heard from a friend of the show that the feeling in the change room afterwards was one of awkwardness and anger. Can you take us back to that day? What happened and your feelings?
What I can say is it was accidental and reckless. I did not mean to stamp on Petrișor Todorask's face. He was a Romanian loosehead. Played for La Rochelle. I tried to just marginally shoo him away with my foot. Unfortunately, the back of my foot and the 21 mil stud gave him a small laceration on the side of the face. I'll be honest with you, to get kind of pretty real for a second, I genuinely was absolutely mortified when I found out afterwards, because the French medical, whether it was a language barrier or emotion or whatever, they basically painted the picture that he was blind. I was under the impression that I blinded a guy, and I kind of had that for about 24 hours. And then I had a phone call from Chris, who was the Gloucester doctor at the time, who said, no, that's absolute, like, that's a complete fabrication. He's got 6 stitches in his cheek and he lost a gold crown. Like, he's absolutely fine. But for 24 hours, I was genuinely absolutely like gutter. I didn't know what to do with myself.
You know, you've been playing for a number of years, you know, obviously I follow your career extensively. Is there anybody that you have formerly played against or still play against that you just like to enjoy to, you know, go and have a good go at them? For instance, you know, the opposite man for Putney Pirates I play against, a relish the opportunity, you know, if I can maybe squeeze in a cheeky elbow off the ball, I will.
I think there are teams like that. There are teams that you like, particularly Saracens.
Yeah, that I would probably feel the same way, just because I think me and Owen Farrell would, you know, it would end in fisticuffs. Yeah. We're such two different, you know, animals. Both play the same position, but, you know, I'm charismatic. I'm known for, you know, the banter, you know, the flashy lifestyle. I live in Clapham. I'm popping bottles in Infernos on the reg. You know, you'll find me in number 32, probably taking a cheeker there, you know, Thursday night. Probably won't be drinking because I play semi-pro. And then you've got
Temple.
Yeah, and then you've got Farrell. You know, he doesn't know what CrossFit is. He doesn't understand what a lychee martini is.
No.
You know, he likes gravy and mash. Yeah. You know, I like pan-fried cod with saffron and mashed potatoes.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, and that's why more people like me than Owen Farrell. You know,
quickly, because we are going to touch on Inga now, and what a perfect.
But I want to talk. You know, Dave.
Oh, sorry.
What I'm trying to say is, Dave, you know, if you can give him one for me next time you see him, you know, if you do lay him out, just whisper in ears. Yeah, that's from the magician.
Right, he'll definitely know that. He'll know who you are.
I'll send you a voice note just before that game, because I'm sure that's something you'll look at before the match.
What I'll do is I'll sneak my phone onto the field.
That would be helpful. Yeah.
That would be good.
Actually, I've got a spare mini disc, so I'll just send that to you, because I wouldn't want to get your phone damaged. But the mini disc, you know, would be effective. Mini disc player, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know anyone bought into that.
Yeah, yeah, I invested heavily into it, and I actually a few years ago I had an investors meeting down in the Ned, and there was about 5 of us, and this guy who was actually from a mini disc provider, he actually convinced me to reinvest. Apparently it will come back just like vinyl.
Down. It definitely will.
The sound quality is phenomenal.
Well, the room's full of boxes.
I still listen to the Goo Goo Dolls on my mini disc, and it's like
Iris
being live. Iris Broadway.
Well, listeners, you've heard it here first. Please get back into investing and buying off Archie's
mini disc. Yeah, it's coming back up.
Yeah,
it's a lot like Bitcoin. You know, you buy it on the low, bang.
Q4 for mini discs. Over it.
Probably likely to be Q4 next year, but now's the time to invest. Commercial break.
Do you ever find yourself sat alone thinking, why? Why am I such a fucking loser? I've got no chat, no interests, no girl, no friends, not much coin. I live a miserable, miserable existence. And then suddenly, You see at the bottom of the rainbow a pot of gold. It is a pint which will change your life forever. Well, thanks to Hannah and also the old Aunt Evan, if you live in Clapham, we have the remedy you so require. Head down there this weekend and enjoy the most premium lager, which has been scientifically proven to improve your chat. In comes the drums, in comes the bass, in comes the colour. Your life will never be the same again. Get down there now and try the most magical potion ever created by the genius Archie Curzon. Moorlash Lager on draft. There's nothing better in the world. Oops, I've just drunk Moorlash Lager, and now my world has changed forever.
You made your debut against the All Blacks. What are your memories of that day? I mean, there's no better person. Your official senior debut, whatever you want to call it, against the All Blacks. What are your memories of that day? Running on for a wonderfully svelte Tom Palmer.
Outstanding memory from that game is actually in the post-match where my dear mama, who is like an extreme lash banter, she got absolutely slotted and pulled up at the table of All Blacks, sat on Kevin Mialamo's lap, nice. Gave a noogie to Albie Matheson. And she's got very little memory of this at all. Thankfully, I've got a photo of it. But as a new cap, first time international, loads of these Joe Rockthocker people coming over and saying, congratulations, your first cap. Like a huge moment for someone playing for your country. And there was my mum, sat on the laps, these people who I'd watched on telly growing up, like these icons of the game. And there's my mum sat on their lap.
She sounds as loose as, almost as loose as Freddie Burns' mum.
No one is that loose, to be fair. She's a great woman, Mrs. Burns.
Lovely lady.
She's a big fan of the podcast.
She is a big fan, and we send our love out to Mrs.
Big
Burns.
Big fan of Burnsy, actually. Yeah. He's a big fan of the podcast.
Burnsy is a big fan, and a big fan
of
Dave.
He's still, though, posting stuff on social media of him working out. We get it. You know, Steve Borthwick, Burnsy knows you're working hard.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll get your opportunities when George Ford is injured.
You've got to stay at the cold face all the time, and sooner or later, someone's going to get injured, you'll get an opportunity. And then just don't drop the ball over the line.
Exactly. And also, one of my favourite things is when Burnsy does questions on Instagram, someone always asks, are you disappointed not starting for 10? And he's obviously disappointed, but he then puts through gritted teeth. He knows his job. He knows his role on the team. And he's just enjoying life.
He's the energizer.
But it's only been the last 2 weeks that George Ford has actually started following Burnsy. Big into yoga in the Ford household.
Love yoga, and it's actually turned out brilliantly for them.
Yes it has.
And I want to know what happened with a certain Sam Burgess in the Fords. Obviously you witnessed that unravel, one of the biggest scandals to hit any domestic club in English rugby history. So what was it like to be a sort of a voyeur watching that unravel?
The whole situation was very bizarre, like very, very bizarre. Like, I got a lot of respect for Sam Burgess. He is like a colossal in the kind of world of rugby league and what he's done. But he's never played rugby union. And we had a team meeting where they played like a montage video of Sam Burgess. And then at the end, Mike stood up and started clapping. He wasn't even in the room. Like, they were like, look, we've signed the best player in the world. Here he is. He's never played the game, but he's the best player in the world. And everyone in the room's like, What's going on? They put so much pressure on him. And obviously, whatever deal was done, I don't know. But someone paid a lot of money to get him here. And they painted a picture for him. And they sold him the dream, playing the World Cup, all that kind of stuff. And they forced him into the team. And he had the kind of England setup in his ear saying one thing. And at Bath, the coach is saying another thing. And he was kind of a little bit caught in the crossfire. And if you're someone who's given an opportunity to play international rugby, you're like, well, fuck yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to try and do. I got a lot of respect for Sam in how he dealt with it, how it ended up transpiring that he left. I think was a bit of a letdown from everyone involved, not just Sam, but I certainly feel like he got a lot more stick than he deserved out of that situation.
Was he an unbelievable sort of personality?
Sometimes someone joins the WhatsApp group and you're like, oh, this kid's good fun.
He was full tilt,
full beans, loved the lash, one of the lads straight away, like really good crack, spoke appropriately. He needed time in the game and no one was willing to really give him that.
And what position do you think he should have played?
Six.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, obviously we read a bit about him falling out with Mike
Imagine
Brown.
If I ever moved to America, that's what they'd do for me.
What, Movie to Six?
No, no, no. They would play like a promotional video. Like, probably just all my Instagram videos, which is quite a considerable amount now.
That'd be a long
That'd be about a two-hour film.
Yeah, that'd be very long.
But bloody funny film. Bloody funny film.
Tom Brady would just stand up and start clapping.
Yeah.
Here comes the magician.
Yeah, and then it'd fade to black and I'd pop up and go, hey guys, it's the magician here. I've just done my rig biz run. And everyone would be like, amazing. Yeah. He's doing a message to us.
But now we're hopping over the channel to France because 2018, you go to Toulon. And I mean, how incredible. Brian Habana, all those big, big names around you. Bath was getting a bit frustrating. I know it was. But in your first week, they decided to take you up the mountains and go skiing. What was the social like on that skiing trip? You're skiing with some of the biggest names in rugby. How fucking loose did it get on the mountains?
It was absolutely fucking wild. It was wild. I'd never seen anything like that. Like the conservative premiership, especially at Bath. Like it's a small town. You can't do anything, go anywhere. And these guys out there, it was like proper Galacticos. Like they are the reason of Toulon. Like Toulon is one of the biggest ports in the Mediterranean, but it's a naval port. Like no one's going to Toulon, and the rugby club put Toulon on the map. It's now a cruise stop, a destination. So the guys that play for Toulon have this embedded in them that they are like rock stars. And like the first week I got there, like you say, we went off up skiing in the Alps, we're playing rugby in the snow with like the local village. And then we're doing ski there. Week one, Brian Abana's got a knee injury, so have I, so we're roommates, and we're doing ski lessons together. I've never been skiing before. This is the most ludicrous thing ever. But they've took 50 of like the highest paid rugby players in France, Dwayne Vermeulen, Juan Lobbe, Mathieu Bastro, like big names in rugby. Yeah, we're just going to fucking go skiing. Get on it. Like the worst thing we had, one of the, Sebastian Suri, I think, the hooker, split his eye open because he was... like sledging down the side of a mountain and hit a tree.
Oh my God.
But everyone else actually, thankfully, was completely fine. It was an amazing trip. We got absolutely slaughtered and ate like a sheep's head.
Is Habana good on the lash? Because he always seems like quite a pious guy. Yeah.
He's a really, really nice guy. He's not a lash monkey. He's very, very professional. For lash, you're looking at Dwayne and Juan.
Yeah.
Argentinian South African lashes. They love it. Barbecues.
Who is the most disappointing you've come across in your career? You've obviously played with some big names.
Probably Albie Mathieson or Manonu, one of those guys that I think they were probably a bit too professional at the time. Yeah. I think I felt like they were such amazing, like one of the first training sessions at Toulon, we're trying to practice like restart receptions. And the ball gets kicked long to Manon, who just turns at a right angle and punts the ball over the stand into the car park and then just walks off. And that was the end of training. Like, they're such big characters, they could just do stuff like that. And the coaches would just be like, well, okay, I guess that's the training session over. You feel like if they're going to be that instrumental in deciding what to do, that they'd be full tilt on the noise as well. And just they were not.
No.
Well, we're talking about big characters who could rub up teammates the wrong way. You played with a certain Bessero. Ollie Phillips came on the pod a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure you listened to it.
It's very popular.
Very
popular in the Bristol team. Got a lot of the guys down there. Follow me on Instagram.
Do a lot of the boys listen to the pod down there? Follow Archie?
Yeah, loads of the guys know who you are and follow you.
Yep.
But obviously you played with Bessero. How bad was he? I mean, do you have a story about him to sort of even match Ollie Phillips' madness? He said he's the rudest man he's ever played with, the most unprofessional.
I thought he was amazing. I thought he was incredible. I think he was a different player at Stade than he was at Toulon.
Yeah.
And obviously he got the captaincy down in Toulon for a while. He was obviously the French captain. Like, I think he obviously changed as a character, but he was like a big deal is an understatement. Like, he was absolute cream of the crop. Like, there was a nightclub down there, and he got absolutely belted. I mean, full belted, couldn't see. Driving home in a massive like Volkswagen pickup truck, emblazoned with Toulon logo everywhere, like side to side down the road. Please pull him over. One of them like gets in the car with him, drives his car back to his house. Then they go into his house and have a couple of beers with him, and then they leave. Like, he's that big a deal that the police just pulled him over for the crack, made sure he got home okay, and then left. I was like, this is mental.
That is probably the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That I'd imagine that would happen to me in Clapham.
Does he have chat? Or does he have no chat? Does he have chat? Or does he have no chat? Does he have chat? Or does he have no chat?
Here we go. Mike Tindall.
No chat.
Carl Sinclair.
Chat.
Semi Rodrada.
No chat.
Brian Habana.
No chat.
Dwayne Vermeulen.
Chat.
George Ford.
No chat.
Jonathan Joseph.
Chat.
The Fridge.
Chat.
Danny Cipriani.
Beautiful wife.
Lovely. Chat. And to finish off, Chris Robshaw.
No chat.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a pretty good score, and you were very honest, and big names there. Dave, you've had an incredible career, and we're just going to finish off quickly.
Dave,
with...
this must have been a highlight to come on here in the Rig Beers.
I can't believe it's taken you 6 seasons to give me a call.
I know. Well, they're short seasons, to be fair.
They're short seasons.
What is the one moment you would want to relive over and over, and then also the moment you never wish to revisit?
I reckon probably the 24 hours after standing on Petra Torras' face. I probably would try and avoid that again and again and again as much as possible, because that was pretty savage. But to relive, I think my debut for Bristol Uni was in a varsity against UWE, and we put 60 points on them. I'd love to relive that night again and again and again. It was just the best.
And what about your stag do when Beyonce came on?
That was also pretty special. I probably wouldn't relive that. Maybe I'll have an opportunity to have another one at some point. But the guy who organised that is actually the guy that lives above Gales.
Oh, nice, nice. Well, give me his details on LinkedIn. I'll catch up with him. Sounds like we'd be probably good friends if he hangs out with rugby players.
Yeah, really does.
Yeah, he's a hockey boy, though.
Oh.
Yikes. That's disappointing. Yeah. It's a shame he's in Clapham. But thanks for letting us know. We've got
his exact address as well.
We'll be able to remove him down towards sort of, you know, at least Wandsworth Putney way.
As the mayor of Clapham, I'm sure you can just get people evicted.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll get some police round. We'll have a few beers. Then we'll head round to his and get rid of him.
Dave Atwood, you've been absolutely incredible. Thank you so much, sir. And good luck for the rest of the season.
Dave.
Thanks
so much, buddy.
Thank you, mate. Archie, he was wonderful, but that Bastro story
was good,
should go down in legend. I've heard some crazy things. We both have, but I mean, that was insane.
Mate, Dave Atwood is a good chat. Old Atticus, he brought the banter. And it doesn't surprise me, because he is a big game player, and that was a big game for him. And hopefully he can push on and get quite a good media career off the back of that podcast.
Wanna see you in the clubhouse. Wanna see you in the clubhouse. I wanna hear your most embarrassing stories you've told ever. Fucking see you in the clubhouse.
Archie Cares, and the time is now. A bit of clubhouse stories,
baby.
But behave yourself.
Clubhouse stories.
Let's get straight into the story.
She makes me take my clothes off when I'm dancing in the rain. She'll make you live her crazy life, and she'll take away your pain like a bullet to your brain. Come on, clubhouse stories, here we go.
Wow.
Living a vida loca.
Oh my god.
Oh mate, do you remember that song?
I do remember that song.
Yeah,
good.
That was a classic.
That was a good tune. Back in the prep school days.
Archie,
that was fantastic. But let's get straight into this
story.
Man,
that is a banger. They should remix that. Someone should bring it out.
Well, maybe we should do that for our Christmas. Maybe we'll go for another Christmas number one this year.
Maybe.
Yeah, give it another attempt. So this story this week, Arch, comes from a certain Tom Derek.
Ooh, Deco.
Deco, yeah. Unfortunate to call him Derek, isn't it? Anything's an improvement
Deco
on that.
Yeah, Deco, good lad.
He starts by saying, the magician.
Yeah. Yeah, that's me.
Our mate.
That's what a lot of people call me these days.
Well, yeah, you gave the nickname to yourself.
Yeah. But now a lot of people.
It's catching on.
I'll be walking around Clapham on a Sunday, going to Pear Tree Cafe, and people will just stop me and go, you're the magician. Yeah. And I go, no. I'll be like, no, you're the magician. And they're like, no, you're the magician from Instagram. You go, oh, yeah. I go, yeah, that's me.
That is actually me,
56,000 followers on Instagram.
Well, okay. Well, let's see.
And continuing to grow.
Okay. Well, he starts by saying, the magician. Our mate Palutes.
Whoa. Has he not checked that I'm well?
He hasn't asked if
Has
you're well.
Has he asked me if things are progressing positively?
He has not.
It's a bit rude.
Do you want me to carry on or not?
Yeah, I will, but I'm. It's put me off.
Yeah, it's
put
me off. It's not an impressive start to an email.
Yeah.
Let's hope it improves.
If this was the business world, I wouldn't be reading this.
No, no.
Certainly wouldn't be a deal being done.
Yeah, if this was Curzon's Cave, he'd be gone.
No, no, no. It wouldn't be happening.
Well, he says, our mate Pelutes, who's a massive rugby lad.
Pelutes?
Yeah.
Well, that's, what's that nickname for?
I don't actually know.
Right. Pelutes.
He was down at HQ for the Tonga game.
Oh, was he?
With the Bedford Boys.
I probably saw him, yeah, yeah.
And he went down there and he got steamrolled after. Top night out with some top chat with the lads.
Oh, yeah.
He lives in Dulwich, obviously.
Yeah, but he was out with guys from Bedford.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a nice area.
No. And he lives in Dulwich, but he's just moved into a new place.
Oh, right.
Anyway, he gets home.
Do we need to know that?
Well, I apparently.
No, yeah, okay.
He gets home to meet his missus at the door at night.
Yeah. That is what I'd imagine it would be like for me in a few years. So I get home and my missus will be there. She'll be like, where have you been?
Well,
I'll be like, listen, darling, yeah? I've been to the rugby, okay? I've had a few, but you knew this when you got with me. Just let me in the door, please. I've lost my keys.
Well, the problem is his missus.
And she'll be livid, but in the morning she'll forgive me because I'll go down to Northcote Road. I'll buy her a croissant and some flowers.
Oh, God, that is lovely.
Yeah,
that is good. That's
and
it.
we will laugh. We will laugh. And we'll be out with couples telling the story time and time again. She will go on and on about how I always go to rugby with the boys and get drunk. Oh, God.
Well, unluckily...
It's going to be tough. It'll be tough to adjust to that life.
Well, unluckily for him, his missus didn't have any keys. So he gets home to meet his missus, but she's also outside the door.
Then
realises he's forgotten his keys. Shocker. It's classic Plutus, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, this guy seems like he hasn't sort of got with the right person. You know, I personally would... I'd be married to someone who is organised.
So then he calls a locksmith out to let him in.
It's
not that late at night because he's hanging after a whole day session on the Guinness, a bit like you. He's got a burger of Guinness.
Yeah.
This could actually be you.
Man, bloody, you know what? A lot of people say the best Guinness is in Ireland.
Yeah.
And some people say the best Guinness is in Nigeria.
Yeah.
But for me, and I tell you, I've tasted a lot of Guinness, like a lot of Guinness, especially around Clapham. I've tried most Guinnesses.
Okay.
And Twickenham HQ, I would say, is up there as one of the world's best Guinness.
Okay, well, you know.
I'm willing to take on an expert.
Okay, well, maybe we'll do that next week on the pod.
Do you know if they create Guinness in the Twickenham area?
I don't think they do. I think they brew it in
Dublin. It must travel really well. The temperatures around that area must be conducive to a good Guinness.
Well, they get through the door.
And I tell you what, the more Guinness you drink at Twickenham, the better it gets.
Well, having called out a locksmith, they eventually get through the door. But then they realise immediately it's not his house.
Oh, no.
He's been stood outside the next door neighbor's house and he's just broken into it.
Oh, no.
Not only has he had an absolute stinker, but his girlfriend is absolutely livid. They head back round to his place and repeat the process.
Oh, my God.
The next day, he wakes up to an incredibly pissed off missus who wants to break up with him, a rotten hangover, a stonking locksmith bill of over 1.5K, and he's groveling to his neighbor about breaking into their place. They may still press charges. I welcome your analysis on the pod.
Well, first of all, like that 1,500 could have gone on a bloody good night. So that's a complete waste.
Agreed.
I would definitely bin off his girlfriend because she should know that it was the wrong house as well. Like, what was she doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Was she that drunk as well?
Yeah, I agree with
that's you. Unladylike.
Yeah, it is unladylike.
I'll give that story a 6 out of 10. I hope Pelutes gets his priorities right next time and just stays out in the biz.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to put your money where your mouth is as we listen to Archie Curzon's tips of the week before taking him on Unsettle It. Download the app now.
Archie, now it's time for our little sell it section where we ask our fans to come and bet against you.
Yeah, and I absolutely love this section. I raked in about 150 quid this weekend, put out the odds for 20 to 1 for Wales to beat South Africa, and so many people fell for it. I'm making money in the week, and I get to the weekend, and I'm spending it, you know, my hard-earned cash. But just making it back for
you're making
selling
more money
it.
For
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, for those who don't know,
I'd just like to say, bring it on, suckers.
Well, yeah,
because I'm going to take everyone's cash this weekend.
Well, for those who don't know, Settle It is the new innovative betting app where you can bet against friends and family. And this season, we're allowing you to bet against Archie. So all you have to do is download the Settle It app, and then you can set your own odds, your own games, your own markets, and really enjoy yourself. Huge games coming this weekend. So Archie, I want to get your predictions on these following games.
Of course.
Italy versus Argentina to kick off Saturday.
Wow. Obviously going to go with Argentina because they do great steaks and red wine.
Is that the only reason?
Yeah.
Okay. Scotland, South Africa?
Going to go with the Scots.
And you're friends with a lot of them.
Yeah, and do you see Hamish Watson got man of the match?
What, just after he came on the pod?
I think that's not a coincidence.
No, not at all. So you go to Scotland for the Scotland, South Africa game. Then we have an incredible matchup. 3:15 on Saturday, Ireland versus the All Blacks.
Mate, going to go with Ireland just because Johnny Sexton follows me on Instagram.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing. 100th cap for Johnny.
Yeah, yeah.
A fellow fly half, a quick word
not,
on him.
Again, not a coincidence that he started following me, and then since he's followed me, he's gone on to get 100 caps.
You're welcome. And then the final game on the Saturday, England at HQ against the old enemy, Australia.
Yeah, I think England are going to win, and I think they're going to win by 20 points.
Really?
I'm that confident, yeah.
Okay.
We are in a special time in England's history, and we've got an unbelievable team. A lot of people say to me that I look like a better looking George Furbank, and a lot of people also say when they watch me play rugby that I am very similar to Marcus Smith, or if I'm being honest, people say Marcus Smith is quite similar to me. And right. You just think, if I was out there on the weekend, how ludicrous I would have been. You know, the danger Tonga would have been. It's lucky they weren't, because it wouldn't have been 69-3.
No.
It would have probably been 99-3.
Yeah.
But gutted and not to be out there.
If you're that confident for the England-Australia game, what odds will you set for Australia to win on the weekend?
I'm going
to
give Australia 15-1 odds.
15-1?
Yeah.
So they won 5 in the bounce. They're one of the best teams in the world. And you're saying 15-1 if they beat England.
Yeah. Come one, come all. I'm ready to take your cash and make some money. Money, baby.
And then to finish off on the Sunday, I mean, a bit of respite. France versus Georgia.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go with Georgia in that one. No, that's just like quite good. Like rugby banter. oh, God, that really cracks me up. Remind me, can you write that down to tell the boys that in the office tomorrow?
Yeah, I will do.
Now I'm going to go with France by 50.
And then to finish off the weekend of rugby, we have the Welsh versus the Fijians.
Ooh, tough.
Ryan Wilson will definitely be watching that one.
Two second tier teams. That would be a cracking match, but I'll give the Welsh by 5.
Well, guys, if you really want to bring the rugby alive this weekend, then download the Settler app. Get your friends and family to do so as well. And also, add Archie Curzon's number, which is in the bio of this box, and you can get that 15-1 odds for the Australians to beat the English. Come on, the boys. Well, Archie, it's been wonderful to spend another 45 minutes.
Tremendous,
with you.
tremendous pod.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm going into the changing room, boys, and I'm saying, listen, boys, I'd love to say something, but I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
You are performing at your skins week in, week out.
Well,
delivering on the chat front, delivering on the guest front. You guys, go and have a great weekend.
Well, we may have 3 or 4 of the biggest names in world sport coming to finish off this series.
That is true, and I cannot believe it. And if we do, it is going to break the internet.
Well, it's not often I get through to you when you're at work, but you managed to break away from a meeting and take this call because it was that important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So keep your eyes
peeled. I would just say to people, watch this space.
Yeah.
Because over the next 2-3 weeks,
oh, duh. Yeah.
We are taking down some serious names.
We really, really are.
And delivering chat.
We will be. We'll be innovating the world of chat. And guys, please don't forget to like, share, subscribe on the Apple Pod page.
Have people stopped?
Well, we stop reminding them. They're enjoying
right,
the pod.
Listen, you know, guys, don't be rude. But yeah, and excuse me, any ladies listening, maybe step out of the room. But guys, can you fucking get it together, yeah? We are working our tits off here. All we have to do is go on iTunes and write, these guys, phenomenal chat, 5 stars, subscribe.
It's not that hard.
You know, that is all we're asking. Do we take any money off them?
Nothing.
We do and settle it.
We do and settle it.
Yeah.
And that actually reminds me, guys, don't forget to get involved and settle it. Get your friends and family to download it and make money from your friends. Until next week, Archie, it's been an absolute pleasure. Hope you enjoy the rugby this weekend.
Mate,
should be pretty loose.
Cannot bloody wait. And I just want to say happy autumn international weekends to everybody. Let's get bloody steamboated.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. Yet all the night's magic seem to wear you know the summer light seems to shine in your blush. Can I just have one more morning dance with you, my love? Or can I just make some more romance with you, my love? Well, I wanna make love to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning.